Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord, just as is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ, the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, Simeon took Jesus into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, for which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed and what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that would be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband, and after her marriage, then as a widow, until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. In coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew, became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In that second reading, it's kind of like a grab bag. There's something in it for everyone, for the kids, even the wife, because it says, husbands, love your wives. Bill, do you love your wife? Okay, you fulfilled that. Are you doing better, by the way? You getting better? Okay, we're going to pray for you. Bill had a stroke, so we want to pray for him. And this is my favorite passage from the scripture, the first reading that Joyce read, and I'm going to substitute the word father. "My son, take care of your pastor when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives, for even if his mind fail, be considerate of your pastor. Revile him not all the days of his life." Can I get an amen? Thank you very much. Now I'm going to do the sermon, which I just dropped. See? Getting old. Just dropped my sermon. So don't go away. I'll be right back here. Put it down here. Get it. Ooh. Here it is. This is the sermon that I preached down in Adams County for Christmas. And this story has always moved me deeply because it was given to me by a man right before he died. And he asked if I would share this Christmas story, his experience, with anyone that I would minister to. So I will now share this with you. Harry was a big, burly-looking guy who worked construction all his life. He was strong as an ox with huge hands, and they were calloused from years of hard labor. If Harry dyed his red hair and beard white, he could play a perfect Santa Claus. The best way to describe him, you know John Goodman from the Conners? That's what he looked like, except when John Goodman was fat. But that would have been Harry, and put a beard on him. I met Harry towards the end of his long life when he was dying of cancer. And he shared with me, as a gift, this unforgettable Christmas experience. Harry was one of the first CBs that were created in 1942 during World War II. Do you all know what CBs are? Yeah. He was the first one. First recruited from Cincinnati as a CB. For those who don't know, CBs built every road and airport used by our soldiers in the Pacific Islands or in Australia or the Philippines. Harry bragged about his skill with a bulldozer. He joked, "I could make a bulldozer pop a willy if I wanted to." He said, operating a bulldozer as a CB was a very dangerous job. Harry explained why. "I was a sitting target perched in that cab, and I was a clear shot for the Japanese snipers." And then he added, "They would start shooting at me, especially when I was nearing completion of a runway for our planes to bring in soldiers and supplies and food and ammunition. The closer I got to finishing that, the more they shot at me so that I could not finish it." And he says, "Sometimes it got so bad that I had to turn the bucket upside down and I hid inside just to live." Well, the day finally came that brought joy to everyone around the world. On September 2nd, 1945, the Japanese surrendered. Harry recalled, "The victory celebration was wild. Everyone was downing bottles of either sake or bourbon." But then the commanding officer spoke the words that made his dream come true. "Harry, it's over. Go home, son. Go home." And home he did. So he was on a ship that went from Australia all the way to San Francisco. And it was a rough journey. It took a long time, and the Pacific storms made a lot of soldiers seasick, especially the Marines. He added that, not me. He said they weren't used to us strong CBs. We could take that. The Marines were a little different there. When the Tesmers were here, they didn't like that. But I said, hey, I cannot lie. But anyways, he said the trip took many days. There were a lot of Pacific storms that made many seasick. And then he had this four-day uncomfortable train ride from San Francisco to Union Terminal in Cincinnati. And Harry arrived at Union Terminal in Cincinnati on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. I will now let Harry tell the story in his own words. "The hardest part of my journey was getting from Union Terminal to Norwood. My family didn't know I was coming. They didn't know I would be home. So I grabbed my duffel bag and started walking. A wet snow was falling down in buckets so hard, I looked like a walking snowman. I was so cold, but my desire to get home kept me warm. I walked about 3 miles when a guy driving an old 1940 black Ford farm truck. He stopped. He gave me a ride. He knew I was in the military, seeing my government-issued green overcoat. I told him I was gone for 3 years. And that guy, out of appreciation, that guy went out of his way and drove me right to the front door of my mother-in-law's house, where my wife stayed during the war. He thanked me for my service and said while departing, "Son, the reason why you survived is right behind that door." And he was right. I began to shake with emotion as I walked towards the door up the wooden, worn steps. I peered through the icy window to see my wife and mother-in-law preparing the table for dinner. Then I saw another reason for my hope. There she is, my daughter. This is the first time I got to see my daughter, as my wife Anita was pregnant when I left for the war. My baby girl, she has red hair, just like her dad. And for 3 years, I stayed strong in the face of whizzing bullets, the threat of getting malaria, and the fear of capture. I stayed strong. I never cried once. But now, as I beheld my beautiful baby child, all my emotions let loose. I cried like a baby. I regained my composure. Now I was ready to walk through that door. I knocked on the locked door. My mother-in-law opened the door, took one look at me, and fainted in my arms. I caught her with my left arm. My wife, Anita, quickly came over. She yelled, "Harry!" And she fainted. And I caught her in my right arm. And so, let me turn the page here. So, I have my mom, my mother-in-law on my left arm, my wife in my right arm. And I plop both of them onto the couch. And when they awoke, we held each other tightly in a group hug so tight for a long time. There were so many tears, we could have irrigated a cornfield. But the moment I could only dream about is now happening. I'm home. I never wanted it to end. Home never felt so good. After drying her tears, Anita said, "Harry, let's go meet your daughter." Anita called for her 3-year-old Elizabeth, who by now was playing in her bedroom. And Anita introduced us, saying, "Elizabeth, this is your daddy." My daughter took one look at me, then looked up to her mother and declared, "I don't like this daddy. I want another one." Seriously, this is all true. That's what I broke down to when he told me that. My appearance scared her. I had this red hair and it was all tangled. And I had this gruffy beard. And I was wearing this ugly green long overcoat. And I needed a bath. But once I took a bath, shaved the beard, and put on some nice clothes. Then Elizabeth said to Mommy, "Mommy, we can keep him." And I have celebrated many wonderful Christmases with my daughter since. I'm glad she kept me. Christmas is the celebration that God desires to make his home with us. God wants this so much. He was even named God with us. That's the name of Jesus, God with us. Matthew 1:23 says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us. Imagine the Blessed Virgin Mary introducing Jesus to someone and saying, oh, this is my son, God with us. But that is his name. And God wants us to be in his home so much. He sent Jesus to fight a war much bigger, much more powerful than World War II. He fought a war with the devil, and he lost his life. It was a ferocious fight with evil, and he did it to get us back. And because he was faithful to his Father, he arose from the dead. He won the war. He won home for us. And Jesus promised never to leave. His home is with us permanently. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So my brothers and sisters, whatever troubles, trials, crosses, or tribulations you have this Christmas and into the new year, God is with us. God is with you. Do not despair. He'll see you through. I believe that. God wants to make a home in your heart. But here's the question. How do I welcome Jesus into my heart? What do I need to do? I think you need to do two things. You got to believe, first of all. Have faith that God really loves you and wants to be in your heart. And the second is very important. Every time you heed the cries of anyone in need, when you heed their cries with care and compassion, then your heart will become a comfortable home for the Lord. That's how you put Jesus inside. Believe in him. Believe in his love for you. And then when someone's crying out in need, needing love, needing care or compassion, and when you give it to them, your heart is the place where Jesus will dwell. And where your treasure is, there also goes your heart. Christmas is just not a date on the calendar. It's a way of life every day. The comedian Bob Hope, remember Bob Hope? Bob Hope once said, my idea of Christmas is really very simple. Loving others. Come to think of it, why do we have to wait for Christmas to do that? Amen. God bless you all. Merry Christmas. I think this year coming up, we're going to need family even more. 2024 is going to be a rough year. We already got a war in Ukraine. We have a war in Gaza. And it's an election year. That's going to be hard. So we need to stick together as a family. And a family is more than just blood relations. A family is any grouping of people where they love each other and they befriend each other, where you could go to them and you could be at your worst and they're still going to love you, you know? A family accepts others at their best, but also at their worst. And so we need to stick together and help each other. And I believe if we do that, we will get through any vicissitudes in the new year to come. So you are my church family. I'm so glad to be with you. I've always felt your love. And we will stick together and we'll get through this year. and the year after that, and the year after that. So my brothers and sisters, we are blessed. We have home here, and we have a home that awaits us. Some of you have loved ones who are up there in the other home. I'm thinking of my mom and dad. They're up there, and they give me strength. So we pray for your loved ones who are with Jesus. But rest assured, one day you will see them again. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at saintmaryhillsboro.org, that's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.